We have gone through these woes. We're, you know, let me just back up a little bit because there's so much we've been through already. So I want to get everything in order here. We have been through the seal judgments. And remember, at the very last seal judgment, this is after the church age, so the church is gone. Okay, the last seal, Jesus opens up, and then we have the trumpet judgments. And for people who don't understand that, if God had these seals here, John wept, and he was like, okay, who's worthy to open these seals up? The seal has the idea of what the earth, who controls the earth at this time, because remember when Adam and Eve fell, Satan became the prince and power and ruler of the air. Now remember, God's sovereign outside of time. God knows all things. He loves us. But he did send a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And this Jesus redeemed for us our sins, paid for our sins, because we, of all people, cannot get to heaven on our own. Once we die, that's it. And you wonder, why do people build things out here, and then they're gone? And it just, they forget about you, as one elderly deacon told me years ago. When you die, people, for the most part, forget about you, you know, and they get on with their lives. So, Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins. He bought our sins for us. What was done on the cross, okay, took care of that perfect sacrifice for our sins. So, we were forgiven. We are forgiven today. If you're carrying sin with, around with you or whatever, get it under the blood of Christ and move on with your life. It is not worth meddling around, like they say, in your sin. God's forgiveness. So, getting back to the seals, Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. Okay, now he's allowing him to do what he's doing. He wants to be God. He wants to be the fourth member of the Trinity. And that's why, like we talked about last week with the second woe there and the fifth trumpet, that God allowed these demons to come here upon earth. And we're not going to get into all that because we got more to talk about today. But there's a lot of symbolism and there's a lot of realism in Revelation. Now, getting back to the seals, Jesus is standing before the throne of God in the right hand of the Father, and he takes the last seal, and he is the one who's worthy, okay, to open up these seals. In other words, Satan thought that he owned everything. He was the prince and power of the air. At one time when Jesus was tempted in Matthew, that he said to Jesus, you know, if you fall down and worship me, Jesus, I can give you the kingdoms of the world. Because he had that authority. It wasn't until Jesus destroyed death, hell, and the grave, and he conquered all that, okay? And he was victorious because all the Old Testament saints, they rose up in Matthew chapter 27 and they walked amongst the streets of Jerusalem. People don't read their Bibles because they don't know that. So that's what's happened. That's the first resurrection. Next one, of course, is the rapture that's going to take place. Okay, that's when we're going to be absent from this earth and present with the Lord. And now we're in the tribulation period. So the last seal, we went through that. Jesus conquered Satan, and now we're in the trumpet judgments. And what happens here now is that we look here at the sixth trumpet, and we have to go back to the fifth one in chapter 9 to understand the sixth one. I know this is a lot to digest first thing in the morning, but you have to do it this way, especially some younger people don't have no idea what Revelation is all about. It's been revealed, and like John said, blessed are those who read this. Remember, Jesus interpreted this. John saw visions, and the John the Beloved, remember he wrote five of the epistles there, wrote the Gospel of John, Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He was the one sat next to Jesus. John had to write these things down. And he would use phrases that looked like, okay? Because remember, the man was writing this down 2,000 years ago. And this is why a lot of people get Bible prophecy twisted, because you have to be very, you have to do word studies in order to understand. So, chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. It was given the key to the bottomless pit." That star is in the, talking about a person. It's used in that construction, and it has the idea of stars can be used as a literal star or as a person, okay? And it has the construction there as a personal pronoun. So I believe it was Satan. He was given the key to open the bottomless pit. We got into that last week. And then you had the locusts that came out. Now, you ask yourself, are these real locusts? We looked into that last week. These were demonic beings that were specially used by God to cause 5 months of torture there to people. And the idea was is that people would repent, but they didn't, okay? And they begged for mercy to die, but they couldn't. And so we got into a lot of that. Now we're looking at a different set of demonic beings here in verses 13 through 21. Looking at verse 12, it says, "One woe is to the past. Behold, the second, two more woes are about ready to come." So we're looking at today the sixth trumpet, the second woe. Okay, and the Bible says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay, I've never seen anything that contradicts to it. I've never seen anything in the Bible that contradicts the Word of God with itself. It's all there. You know, I wish I had, more of a visual type of thing, but I think we're creative. I think in our minds we can create something in our mind to get a visual for it. Unfortunately, today some people become very lazy because of the screens. They have to have everything, even though it does help. But think about it in the audio sense and think about it in your mind. Okay, so moving on here, we have the sixth seal, and we won't see the seventh seal until Revelation chapter 11 that deals with Satan and himself. But the second woe here in the sixth trumpet says, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." Now, at this time, one, the church will not be there. Okay, there are people who believe that the rapture is going to take place mid-trib or post-trib. We are here today pre-trib. Okay, the rapture is going to happen before all this happens. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." The idea of wrath is the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for the Son of God from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Again, that's the tribulation. Okay? Now, with that being said here, we look at the four horns of the golden altar, that since this angel speaks, and these four horns are symbolic of God's sovereignty. We don't know what they stand for. Some expositors believe it's the judicial government of God. Others have no idea, but there are four horns there, and they're referred to as God's sovereignty there. And just to keep in mind that there is no neutrality. We talked about that in Sunday school. Either you're going to be for God or you're going to be against God. To be neutral is being against God. Jesus says you're either for me or against me. So we look at the mercy seat of God here. This is what they saw at the tabernacle and at the temple. Remember, the tabernacle is when the Israelites were walking around, and you know God was working with them as they traveled from one place to another. Even when they left Egypt, and remember they went into the wilderness, they came out of that, and they came to Jericho. They were traveling around. They had the tabernacle with them. So God was with them by fire at night and by cloud during by day. But the point is, the mercy seat was there. That was where God was there with them. Today, God rules in our heart. He sits, hopefully he's enthroned in our hearts today. And as we walk and talk with him, the Holy Spirit talks to us. So the temple here is, there are two things. One, it's shown of mercy, and the other one is judgment. Today we live in an age of mercy, where God is merciful to us. Psalm 86:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Today, if you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior. You've asked him for what? Mercy. Because mercy is the opposite of judgment. We live in the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, from the time of Pentecost to the time of the rapture, when Jesus comes back for the church, which could be at any time. Also, God is rich in mercy. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, on which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together." So God's very rich in that. Call upon the Lord today for his mercy, regardless, because we're still growing in grace and knowledge. And then, of course, Hebrews 4:16, we obtain mercy. "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need." Like when we prayed this morning. When, you know, you get home or you're in the car, you can always go before the throne of God in his grace. We're very thankful for that. So we see here that there are the saints of God that are praying. And so God understands that too. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." Now, this is interesting in itself. There are four angels that are bound at the river Euphrates. Now, I believe that they were the angels before the time of Noah's flood that were bound, because they left their estate. They left their domain. Remember, angels, there's a hierarchy of angels. And you have God's angels that are free, right? Those that did not sin against God. Then you have the demons are under Satan's domain, that he is Lord over these demons. And we looked at that last week with the locusts, that there was a king of the locusts. We looked at that, who would give the command. Remember, God's in control of everything. Remember, God will not allow anything into your life unless he allows it to for a purpose. Sometimes it hurts us so bad, just like, wow, I don't understand, God. But remember, he still loves us. Remember, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, give thanks for all things. We have to, people. I'm not asking us to do anything out of the impossible. I'm asking us to be faithful here today, because the old time religion, the old gospel has not changed over the years, over the course of time. People have come and gone before us over hundreds of years, and it's still the same. God loves us. So these four angels were in prison, and there are certain angels we looked at last week in Jude that did not keep their first estate. I believe they were those who intermingled with the daughters of men, the Nephilim, who procreated because of the the genes. They manipulate it with that. I remember preaching on this years ago, and people actually got big smirks on their face, like, no, no. We can see genetic manipulation happening today. We see transhuman type of things going on. You get people, scientists working behind the scenes to mess with God's creation. It's awful. It's awful. Shouldn't do that. But these did not keep their first estate. And so we looked at also the Euphrates. That's an area where Turkey, Syria, and Iraq come together. It's about 1,700 miles long. But remember, it was a place there that was where sin had first began, where the first lie was told, the first murder was committed. The Tower of Babel in that region, people say, well, how is this possible? You know, if you have a flood, okay, you cannot find the Garden of Eden. Some people think it's out there. Well, you're not going to find it because of the flood. It changed everything geographically. But the area is pretty much the same. So God's going to use these four angels for judgment, and they are going to be used to command a 200 million army, okay, of which is 50 million apiece. And there is a place where these four angels, one person said it could have been in Daniel's prophecy, including Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Remember, we looked at this in the past couple of weeks, Ephesians chapter 6, where you have different hierarchy of demonic forces. And one of them was in the religious realm. Another one was in the political realm, where these demons control this. Well, I got scripture here in Daniel 10:13 says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? This is an angel who was for 21 days was resisted by the prince of Persia. Remember, Satan has his generals, his lieutenants, his privates. It's a very organized army. God has his too. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I think if God could pull away the curtain, like it says, you know, we entertain angels unaware. Okay? So I'm going to leave it at that. Now I must return and fight with the prince of Persia. When I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come, but I tell you what is noted in scripture of truth. So Michael had to come, and he had to fight off this general demon. And what's happening is he says, once I'm done with this and answer your prayer, Daniel, after 21 days, then I have to deal with another general, which is in Greece, who I have to fight off. So sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we can sense the presence of God, which I hope is many times. But then there have been times in my life where I've sensed things that are very evil, very evil. And I just want to get away from it because it makes my hair stand up on it. You know, I'm no match for it. My pastor, who had done three exorcisms, real exorcism, not the Hollywood type, told me many years ago, one, you better be fasted up, pastor. And if you're a Christian here, you better be fasted up. Two, you better be prayed up. And then number three, you need to pray for your family and loved ones, because these unclean spirits, like it says in Matthew, the one unclean spirit left this man's house, remember, and he cleaned it all up, and then he brought back six more worse off, and the man's condition was six times worse. When I'm trying to say this to the younger folks today, don't play around with the occult. Stay away from Ouija boards, because it will just open your mind up. Stay away from drugs. And you're saying, okay, that kind of makes sense. I know people that have been into witchcraft. I know people been in the occult, and it's very real. And some people are just fascinated with the supernatural. Don't open that door. Keep it shut. Keep the other door open with Jesus, because he can overcome that, okay? It's very real for those who don't understand. So these Four demons, generals, thank God they're under chains, because if they were let loose, they're very evil. Remember, there's a type of demon that's not as evil, but there are others that are more and more evil. Okay? So, pray. And remember, even the little privates that are around in Satan's army, they try to play tricks with your mind. Don't ever believe what somebody tells you from the opposite side. They're lies. They want to deceive you. They want to trick you. Okay? Stay away from that stuff. All right. And also be careful what you watch on the screen and what you listen to. I'm just saying that. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Put on the armor of God. Okay. So we John's watching this before his eyes. Remember, God allows things. He permits things. He prevents things. He promotes things. Remember, he's in control of everything. So these four angels, they were bound. And it goes on here. We see that saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And you don't want to read any more into that, okay? Just read it for what it is, okay? And understand who's sovereign, and understand we're in a big spiritual warfare today. So the four angels, says here, who have been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year. It's interesting. God prepared them for this time. Don't think for a minute that things happen by mistake or God doesn't know everything. Remember, he's sovereign. He knows all things. He loves you. I understand disappointment, hurt. I don't get it, Lord. This makes no sense. Why did you allow this to happen? But, you know, God knows this. Let me give you some comfort. Job 14:5 says, the days are determined. The number of his months is with you. You have an appointed time, his limits, so he cannot pass. Remember, Job went through so much. Remember, he's a righteous man in God's eyes. He was only righteous because he did what God told him to do. Today, we have righteous people here today because we're doing by faith what God has told us to do. It's his righteousness, and we're following his righteousness. Job had three friends that tried with best advice, but tried to, and I mean this, I think they meant well, but they had it all wrong until God showed up and then got things right. Sometimes we have people who try to help us in the best way they can, but they give us all the wrong advice. And then all of a sudden, God shows up and shows us a different way. I'm sure that's happened to us many times. But to keep ourselves in mind and in comfort, God's in all through all. Remember, God blessed Job afterwards, and God used Job after that. Psalms 139:16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in the book they were written, God knows all about our DNA. He knows all about our bodies, our substance. He knows what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. I'm just trying to tell you this, friends. Trust him. Obey what he does. You know, like the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. There is no other way but to follow Jesus. Days are fashioned for me, as yet there was none of them. In other words, God, when he created, has the idea in Colossians and also in Genesis that God took something out of nothing and he created it. Either you believe it or not, okay? Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed to man once to die and after that judgment. And remember that we are going to be judged at the Bema Seat when we die and stand before God. And God, remember, loves us. And remember, you're putting your treasure in heaven. And what treasuries you've gotten in earth, just remember, keep your hands out like this. Keep your hand open so God can bless you, right? It's more blessed than give than to receive. So you have this demonic army who's on the verge of being released and is released, and so that people would repent. The locusts tortured 5 months. People were crying out to die. There was nothing they could do about it. now you have a different type of demonic army, and they're out to kill a third of mankind. Why? They're going after people who do not repent. Say, why would God do something like that? So that people would turn to Him. Look, you see, God has created creation. No, I don't think God did that. I think things just happen out of a Big Bang theory. Well, I have a conscience. I'm going to go ahead and batter my conscience down as far as I can. So I can assume that there are no absolutes in life. Because if I do that, if I turn the truth to a lie and lie to the truth, then boy, oh, howdy, I can do whatever I want. And there's a large group of people that are doing that. And then, of course, there's the Word of God. And Satan has done everything he can to pervert the Word of God and destroy it, persecuted people, and on and on. And I have to move on here. So you have the four angels have been paired with the hour and day and the month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. In other words, there's around 8.2 billion people now. A lot of expositors think there's going to be about maybe 20 million people will be raptured at the time of rapture. Who truly knows? Remember, you know if you're saved or not today. And yet you're going to have, between the fourth seal and the sixth trumpet, you're going to have over half the earth's population is going to die. They're going to be gone. And think about who's left. Or those maybe who haven't made up their mind yet. And you have others that haven't repented. Remember, repentance is a change of mind. Something you're saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. This is not honoring to God, and I need to start walking right. And by the grace of God, He's going to give me that today. And you know what? God can start using you. So, and then we see here that verse 16, for the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. So there are 200 million horsemen. A lot of expositors believe that those are demons riding on these crafty type of horses, okay? And so we're going through this second woe here. And this is a woe, because the first woe was about locusts. The second one is about these demonic horses with demons on them. I know it sounds like the Lord of the Rings or something like that, but it's true. It's real, because God's word has never lied to me. I believe it's truth. It's going to happen. People have seen really weird things out there, and they're afraid to say anything to anybody. Well, this is going to happen in the future. So you have an army of horsemen. And moving down here, so it's interesting that you'll be able to hear them. The locusts, they send it like chariots. And the locusts, it's a very fearful thing. You can hear locusts, they will tell you out in the Mideast, they'll just devour everything. But those locusts in Revelation were told not to devour anything, but to sting people, the scorpions, the tail of a scorpion. It's a very bad thing to be. Don't play with scorpions. Don't play with bad things. They'll burn you, hurt you. Okay? Now these horses will have serpent tails, and they bite. Like they say, don't hang around snakes because they'll bite you. Some people said that's about other people. Be careful who you hang around with, you know. You'll get bit. So, he says, I saw the horses in the vision here, and those who sat upon them had breastplates. And the idea of breastplate is that you cannot harm them. Okay, that's where the vital organs are. Okay? You cannot harm. Even those demonic creatures, they're spirits, but God has embodied them with a special event. Then, of course, you have here, goes on, and they had a fiery red, haliceous blue, which is very dark blue, and sulfur yellow. It has the idea here, too, of fire and brimstone. Think about these demons that are in the pit being tortured, okay, through many years. And they come out of the pit, And, you know, they're very horrible creatures. And it says in their horses now, the description of their horses. Now you get the picture of the demons. If you ever look at a butane lighter, click it on, you got that blue flame, then yellow flame, right? And it has that, like that picture of that. It's pretty bad place to be in hell. Remember, when people die and go to hell, their souls will be there. They're there right now in the abyss for people who have rejected Christ. And then, of course, later on, God will prepare. We're going to have a resurrected body, right, at the end of time. The great white throne, God's going to prepare those who are unsaved a special body for hell, too. People don't like to talk about hell, but it's there. And God's saying, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you're going to, as it is, suffer for the rest of eternity. Not for a certain part of time, but forever and ever. God has given people a chance today to repent. But they're saying no, and the prophets cry out, "How long, Lord? How long will this happen?" So getting back to the horses, and their heads were like lions. Lions are predatory creatures. Like John's saying, it's like. He's saying that over and over again. They're predatory creatures. They come out and they want to seek and devour and kill. They have sharp teeth. And out of their mouths came fire and smoke. So they will completely capitulate. Not that word, but they will completely consume from fire with that. And then the idea of a smoke is to investigate, to go ahead and to, I can't pronounce the word right. Anyway, they'll choke on the smoke and they won't be able to breathe, okay? And the other, of course, is incinerated. So the idea is that they won't be able to get away from these demons, and which came out of their mouths, for their power in their mouth and in their tails like serpents. So that's the fourth way that they're going to die, okay, is by serpents' bites, okay? Again, this is an extraordinary creature here. This is looks like a horse, has a head like a lion, and also it can breathe fire, and there'll be smoke coming out, and then, of course, they'll have tails like serpents. So they will go about 200 million of these, and these are not the ones from China. There's a lot out back by Hal Lindsey back in the 70s. Euphrates is going to dry up. This has nothing to do with Revelation chapter 16. This is different, okay, because even people who've worked in the military, so this is an impossibility to try to bring over all these soldiers across to Israel in the day of Armageddon, okay, when Euphrates dries up. This is different, okay? They will come out of the river of Euphrates, and they will plague mankind. Having heads, they do harm, but the rest of mankind who were not killed in these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. Interesting, they do not repent. People don't repent because they love their sin. And Acts 17:30 says, "Truly, truly, at these times ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent." They have to know, but people don't want to. Acts 20:21 is testifying to the Jews, also the Greeks, repentance for God and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some would count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." God's saying, time's running out for people. You know, you need to repent. You need to do an about-face. And then says here, during the tribulation, remember, things are going to be very bad during that time. You think times can be bad for people now, it's going to be far worse, because God wants people to repent of the, it says here, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons or idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. Actually, Psalms 96:5 says, all David wrote, all gods of people are demons. So in other words, you'll see this in the Hindu religion. You'll see this in statues and so on and so forth. Like I said last week, if you bring home something from overseas and you're being oppressed, remember, demons can come into objects. They cannot possess a Christian because we're under the blood of Christ. They can oppress you. Okay? It's a very serious thing. So even one missionary told me, he says, I had to get rid of some things because when I came home, I just felt oppressed all the time. So he threw it in the trash, best thing to do. There's a great deception going on at this time, demon worship, and then also idolatries, they tie in together. Why are they not repenting? Because they hate the God of heaven. Look, God, it's all your fault. Sound familiar? All these bad things are happening to people. We want to be left alone. Leave us alone. Okay, go out witnessing, talk to Jesus. People about Jesus, they want a different Jesus. They don't want to hear about the Jesus of the Bible. But I tell them, I said, look, Jesus loves you. And of course, it goes on to murderers here in verse 21. Anger, violence, and seeking revenge. And these are the people that are angry at God. They want to seek revenge on those who believe in God. The God of the Bible. Remember, there's still going to be people that are going to be left that God has saved. Okay? So they're angry. Then there's sorceries. Some people take drugs and so on and so forth, so they don't have to deal with the reality of things. They're so bad at this time. And I've met people who haven't been through the tribulation. I haven't been through it. We all haven't been through it. They're going through some tribulation. They're going through some really heavy trials. And pray for them that they'll seek God. And, of course, fornication. We're looking at that. That's any kind of sexual perversion. Jesus says, just like it was in the days of Noah, so it was like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're looking at transhuman things going on today. People changing the female species, changing over to male to female, and pray for these people because they realize it's a big mistake. It's all wrong. And then, of course, thefts. And then we see stealing because there's a scarcity of a supply of food and water, air and medicines. Kind of ties into why did John put this in here like this? Because we're looking at the Ten Commandments, where it says, do not worship any other gods, do not make any idols, do not misuse God's name, keep the Sabbath day holy. Those are the first four. It's talking about God, and then the last six in God's commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and mother. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. So there are six areas here that under the Holy Spirit, what John is writing down, is those six of the Ten Commandments that God has you shouldn't cross. So as we're concluding with this, how do we end with this? Just give me a few more minutes and I'll be done. Okay. But it is all going to come to pass. So number one, there's the sovereignty of God over evil. Nothing in the spiritual, natural world operates outside God's authority, even though it seems chaotic and destructive. Think about this. There have been over 30,000 Christians killed in Iran, millions in China, millions in North Korea, thousands in Nigeria. A top 10, I looked this up the other day for persecuted countries, are Somalia, Yemen, Eritrea, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, India, and Afghanistan. Those are the 10 worst areas of persecution today. Christians get hit with totalitarianism. That means these are dictatorships. They feel like they're being threatened. There are extremist groups, like in India with the Hindu faith. I knew a pastor who says, you know, his church was destroyed. He was almost in prison. We text each other, not text, but on Facebook. I'd go back and forth with him. He says the mobs would come, and then you'd be like, oh my goodness, if you had hundreds of people come running up the driveway, coming in here, you know, what would you do, you know? They know who you are. Nationalism, they feel threatened because of national identity, you know. It says in Proverbs, the evil man flees when no one pursues. They feel like they're going to lose everything because that's all they have is this world. And we see this God's sovereignty over evil in Revelation chapter 9, 13, 21. And we see the reality of judgment. God's patience has limits. Rebellion has consequences, reinforcing need repentance and obedience. Remember, there are many people who still did not repent. So don't be discouraged today. You're praying for your family members and your loved ones. Remember, God never gave up on us. Continue to pray for them. And then there's the human stubbornness of sin. Sin can harden the human heart to God's warning, highlighting the urgency of personal repentance and evangelism. Share the gospel. You know, if it wasn't for somebody sharing the gospel for me, I would have never known. I would have been totally lost in my own thinking. Very thankful that somebody shared Christ with me. And then, of course, stay faithful. Believers can trust God's justice and remain faithful, even in the face of a evil world. It is everywhere. I know this guy went traveling recently. He went down to a state south of here, and when I went down, had to travel the same route. You had people going 90, over 100 mile an hour, just going weaving in and out of cars. You're like, my goodness, you know, Lord, I hope we don't have an accident. You have people who do some really unwise things. But God is, remember, he's in control of things. Remember, he cares about us. Keeping in mind that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And I'm out of time. I'm out of breath. So let's Lord, let me stop. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that your mercies and your goodness are everlasting. Thank you, God, that you give us life. We thank you for the clothes we wear. We thank you for hot showers. We thank you, Lord, for places to live, vehicles to drive. And thank you so much for our salvation. And we just pray this week as we take a step by faith. You continue to work, everything will fall into place. And that you'll see why things happen the way they do. And in the long run, we can look back and say, you know, I could see why that happened. How your loving hand healed people and helped them and strengthened them. Lord, we thank you for these things and help us to apply what we have learned. In your name we pray, amen.